Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in the Windsor-Essex area. I'm your host, Cam Wells. I'd like to kick off today's show with a little bit of good news. I'm very pleased to say that Handy Link is CJAM's 2018 Best Talk Show. Now, I wanted to take a sec to thank some of the show's greatest supporters who, week after week, make it possible for me to do what I do. Just bring the greatest stories on earth and work within the community to create better opportunities for people with disabilities of any type. Well, there wouldn't be time to thank all those responsible for making this show work. There are a few that I'd like to make mention of. First and foremost, my listeners, who keep their hearts and minds open week after week to hear that people with disabilities have something to achieve and to contribute. The ICHA, for their support, their sponsorship, and just for making the disabled community just a little bit better. Melissa Miner and the Downtown Music Initiative, they bring a light to this community and have shared some great stories. York University and Disability Rights Promotion International, they've given me some of the greatest stories I've ever heard. And they're working internationally to change disability rights on a global scale. Previous guests, Samantha Newmarch, Joanna Zine, Stephanie Craig, the Disabled Women's Network, provide advocacy and support for those who need it the most. Of course, previous guests, Aurora Fowler, Justice Fournier, and all those at Windsor Squash and Fitness. And of course, previous guest, Steph Kepman, who co-authored the Disabilities Handbook for the National Campus Community Radio Association. She worked alongside me and is now doing some great, great advocacy. No matter who you are, my friends, thank you for voting for me. Thank you for the reminder the world can do a little better, that disability equality does, in fact, change the landscape. Now, on with our first interview. In the first segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Sukaina Dada from York University. So tell me a little bit about the recent gala.
Okay, well, on April 22nd, Smile Canada Support Services, we hosted a gala in Brampton, Ontario. And the purpose of the gala is twofold. Firstly, we wanted to raise awareness about the organization, what we do, what we've done in the last 10 years. The gala was actually to celebrate our 10th year, which is very exciting. And the message behind all the different speeches and presentations was really just that we are celebrating our diversity because we're all very different from one another. And we had an amazing keynote speaker. Her name is Mason Zion. And she's a comedian and an actress and a model. And she was there to present and to share and entertain. And it went really well.
And she has cerebral palsy, if I'm not too much mistaken.
She does. She does. She was. She was. she was diagnosed with CP at a young age, and she was told, from what I understand, by some people that she wouldn't be able to walk or talk or, you know, do much with her life, but her parents were very encouraging. And she believed in herself, and her family believed in her, and now she's actually, she's actually coming out with her own sitcom on NBC in February, which is extremely exciting. And she speaks all around the world. She has shows all around the world, and we were very excited to have her come to us, and she was absolutely hilarious.
So, what kind of a message do you think it sends to the community when someone with a disability has an accessible format, something we can all appreciate?
I mean, I think it's absolutely priceless, because when Maysoon began her comedy and her talk, you know, the one thing about her is she's a fantastic comedian. She's absolutely hilarious. But her jokes are around her differences. You know, she sends the message that we can joke about this or we can laugh about this, but we need to also raise the bar, and we need to learn about our differences, and we need to make our spaces inclusive. And, you know, she's also a Palestinian woman, and she's a person who comes from a marginalized background. And she spoke about that very candidly and very openly, but in a very funny way. And I think that speaks volumes, because she's sending the message of being inclusive and having, you know, making sure we respect one another. But she's doing it in a way that also makes people laugh, which I think is absolutely phenomenal.
So, did the community respond well to the whole presentation?
Oh, most definitely. I think, first of all, all you could hear in the audience was laughter, and all you could see from more than 900 attendees, which is, you know, huge smiles, which I think already says that everybody really, really appreciated the message. But also afterwards, we saw a lineup of families just waiting to talk to her about her experiences and talk to her about how she overcomes some obstacles. Because not only does she live with CP, but being a female comedian and a female comedian with a disability is not easy. She talks a lot about how she has applied for, and auditioned for certain roles for characters that are supposed to be disabled, but yet non-disabled actors get the role. So she says that doesn't make any sense, because the role is for somebody with a disability, but yet it's very common that oftentimes on television people without disabilities are playing the roles of people with disabilities. And so she's really raising awareness about that and saying that, you know, it's high time this needs to change. And I think just having her at the gala showed everyone that it doesn't matter, disability or having a disability or not. If you're funny, you're funny. If you're entertaining, you're entertaining. But having her there really sent the message that we need to raise the bar about our, being inclusive. We need to just change the way things are done.
When you speak about the point of acting, it's kind of the catch-22 problem. It's difficult for an actor with a disability to portray an able-bodied person, and someone without a disability has a difficult time representing someone who has one. So, my personal opinion is, you should just have someone with a disability play someone with a disability.
I mean, yeah, and I think with that, we often are seeing that people who do not have disabilities are playing the role of a person with a disability. And first of all, they're not portrayed truthfully. But second of all, why, when there's a niche for someone who has a disability to play the part, why not? which doesn't make any sense. And one of the reasons why I was so excited that Mae Soon is coming out with a sitcom on NBC is because she is, in fact, playing the role of a person with a disability. And she, in fact, has a disability. And so you see that that can easily happen. Unfortunately, it doesn't always happen, but it can easily happen.
Brings to mind one of the great disability sayings, nothing about us without us, so yes. much as should be represented by people with disabilities, and maybe even for them.
Yes, most definitely. And I think that, you know, having somebody like Mae Soon come out and share with such a large audience, it really raises awareness for people who might not be very knowledgeable on or even just very aware of diverse needs. Like, I think oftentimes we just, whether it's at our workplace or whether at school, we just are so caught up in this ableist world, and you and I have spoken about this in the past, that we're just, you know, we just are not even thinking about diverse communication needs and diverse mobility needs and learning needs. And I think that, you know, that's really something that needs to be brought to the surface through so many different forums and avenues. Like, you know, you said it right now, nothing about us without us. Like, we need to have disability at the forefront of the conversation and agenda in every area and every forum. And I think slowly that's happening. You know, Mae Soon talks about speaking about disability and her different experiences in the comedy world. And, you know, it's so profound because, like I said, she's absolutely hilarious. And so she talks about herself and her family and her background. But she does it by making people laugh. And it's really nice for people to see, because immediately she could be ignored because of her disability, when in fact it's a total strength for her. And she speaks about it as a strength, not as a disability, or not as something that is disabling.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Since 1982, ArtSite Inc. has been a nonprofit, artists-run center dedicated to expanding the visibility of contemporary arts within our region. We are dedicated to advancing the professional presentation, promotion, and animation of contemporary art forms. Along with creating forums for critical dialogue, professional development, and cultural exchange, ArtSite presents guest artist lectures, workshops and residencies, film screenings, multidisciplinary performance events, and more. For more information about ArtSite and our upcoming events, visit artsite.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes athletic and social opportunities for individuals with disabilities. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Sukaina Dada from York University. And we also heard a word of thanks for all those who voted on my behalf of the show, in the recent CJAM Jammy Awards. Now, I didn't have time to thank everyone by name, but all of your support means the world to me. From my friends, family, and even St. Clair's Office Admin Program. Thank you all. You're the best, you know. In this next segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Siobhan Niles from Ocasee. So tell me a little bit about Ocasee in relation to working for individuals with disabilities in terms of accessibility.
Okay. So first of all, thanks so much, Cam, for inviting us to speak with you today. So before I talk about Ocasee and its relationship to disability, I just want to share a little bit about who Ocasee is. So Ocasee is the Ontario Council of Agencies Serving Immigrants. We were formed in 1978 to act as a collective voice for the immigrant and refugee serving sector across Ontario.
We have a membership base of over 200 community-based organizations across the province of Ontario. So our goal at OCASI is to achieve equality, access, and full participation for immigrants and refugees in every aspect of Canadian life. The way that the accessibility initiative came about was through a partnership with the Ethno-Racial Disability Coalition of Ontario, or ERDCO, in 2011. And one of the main impetus for this type of program was because service providers were seeing a lot of newcomers with visible and invisible disabilities. And while our sector is aware of the challenges of supporting newcomers, when it came to disability-specific needs, we needed some more understanding and some more training, because the way that the current Immigration and Refugee Protection Act is designed, it presents this assumption that immigrants with disabilities don't exist. And this is in Section 38(1)(c), which the federal government, they're in the process of revising right now. And so for us, there was a need that came from the community to understand what are the barriers and challenges newcomers with disabilities are experiencing. And when I say newcomers, that includes immigrants as well as refugees and folks that might have precarious status. And so what we did was we worked in collaboration with ERDCO to design a training at the beginning to better support frontline workers serving newcomers to Canada in general who might identify or might not identify as having a disability. Now, from 2011 when the program started to 2018, we have evolved so much, which has been phenomenal. So this program is part of the Access and Equity bigger program that is funded by Immigration, Refugee and Citizenship Canada. And overall, the goal is to enhance the knowledge and skills of service providers that serve newcomers with visible and invisible disabilities. Now we offer a range of training for service providers, so not just frontline, but including managers, executive directors, folks who work in admin, because we believe everyone needs to be trained to understand how to support newcomers with disabilities. So we provide on and offline training. We have different resources and tools that we provide to organizations to help them learn how to create a positive and inclusive and welcoming space. So that includes things like checklists to look at how your policies, practices, and procedures align with the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act. Are we providing services to folks that take into consideration their diverse needs, so people don't have to leave a part of themselves at the door? There's been really wonderful things that's come out of this program. Our program has been recognized as a best practice by the Canadian Race Relations Foundation, by Immigration, Refugee and Citizenship Canada. And last year, we received the David Sleet Onley Award and were recognized as being a leader in accessibility in the province of Ontario.
So have there been any challenges in working with the service providers to better their understanding?
The biggest challenge that we experience in our sector is funding. So what we find is that service providers are very grateful to have the opportunity to enhance their own knowledge, to reflect on their own practices so they can better support newcomers with disabilities. I should also mention that we use an anti-racist, anti-oppressive framework in our training. So a lot of that focuses on understanding how different systems of oppression exist that come to impact the experiences of these service users. And overall, we find that service users really appreciate the opportunity to receive this knowledge, because we have an advisory committee. We have champions that are regional champions across the province of Ontario. All of this has evolved from when the program started, and we consult the community when developing training. Every training that's delivered to service providers also takes into consideration, the needs of service providers. So we do a needs assessment before each and every single training, and we customize the content. What we hear from service providers is a real sense of gratefulness to have this knowledge and the need for it to be ongoing. Because a training does not necessarily mean that all the issues are addressed. there's a need for organizations to look at the policy level to ensure that their policies are reflective of what the training, of what folks are learning from the training.
So, in your time with this training process, has there been any success story? Seen any real turnabout for those service users you mentioned?
One of the greatest things, Cam, and I've been on the program since it started, and one of the greatest things that we hear is when service providers come back. And when they come back and say, thank you so much for the training that you provided, it really provided me with an opportunity to better understand the intersecting issues newcomers with disabilities are experiencing. Because for newcomers, you know, while their service is geared towards newcomers, such as settlement services, and while their service is geared towards people with disabilities, many of these services operate in silos. Our sectors operate in silos. So folks don't have an opportunity to always receive services that are that allows them to get everything that they need in one place. And so when service providers tell us, now we understand that we need to maintain a relationship with the disability sector, with the education sector, with the employment sector, we have to move away from working in silos and we have to build our networks. And from that, we started a Champions program at OCASI, which is a volunteer program made up of folks with lived experiences, as folks with disabilities, newcomers, certain with disabilities, visible and or invisible. We have service providers who are frontline as well as managers across OCASI region. And what the regional networks do is they collect information on what's happening in within each region across the province of Ontario. So they're working to build networks within Ontario. Something really phenomenal that one of our champions did in the Durham region was they were able to partner. They're coming from settlement, and they were able to partner with different organizations in Durham across the disability sector, you know, and trying to move into education also to start an advisory committee for the Durham region, which is absolutely phenomenal, where they're talking about accessibility as a regional issue. And again, what we always stress at OCASI is a person should not have to leave a part of themselves at the door. And by having these regional networks, you know, these allies, folks who are committed to doing this work, we're ensuring that the work does get done on the ground, and the work is reflective of the needs of the community.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure, thank you.
Of course. I'd like to end today's show on a bit of a high note. For those of you who have heard this program over a long period of time, you'll remember St. Clair student Carly Rock. Here's a bit of an update about how she's been doing.
It's Cam Wells getting a quick update from Carly Rock about some of the accommodations that have helped her achieve academic success this year. So, what can you tell me about the supports you've received?
I actually did some stuff on my own. Like getting to CEP on my own, like contacted the CEP people on my own. Just stuff like that. They help me like a lot, like get to like test us to qualify to CEP, like what to look for, or in course of like math and English.
So do you find as a student with a learning disability that when you do take steps of independence, it shows others in a similar situation they're able to do so?
It's definitely challenging doing stuff on my own with like academics, because you definitely have to like prove yourself that you're no different from anybody else. And there's definitely times where I definitely like panicked over like certain tests, but you definitely have to like remind yourself that it's okay, it's not the end of the world. Well, then you have to like keep on moving.
So how did you respond in those moments of panic?
There's definitely times where I either like hyperventilated, or like there's even an instance where I punched a wall, a lot of anger, because I didn't want to take it out on other people in anger.
So to look at the converse side of things. What's been the greatest success you've achieved academically?
I've definitely graduated from college like almost a year ago because no one ever thought I'd come to that point. Everyone just thought I would not even graduate high school. Everyone thought, oh, she wouldn't even graduate high school at 21. She would just get like a certificate. But no, I actually graduated high school with an actual diploma. Then I took a year off from high school, got into like the CICE program here at St. Clair. Then I graduated from that program with a certificate almost a year ago. Now I'm here at St. Clair at the CEP program. And hopefully I'll get into like the early childhood education program and graduate from that with a diploma.
And do you think long-term that you'll be able to work in a professional scenario?
Hopefully I will. I will keep positive out for you, but if I don't, I don't. But I will not say that I didn't at least try.
So if you could send any message to all those out there doubting themselves who think they might not be able to achieve, what would you say to them?
I say that I at least doubt myself at least a couple times, but look at me now. I graduated from high school. I graduated from college. And now I'm working on myself to be the best person I can be academically. So if you ever doubt yourself, hear my story from Cam's show, and you'll definitely think, wow, if she could do it, I can do it, and anything is definitely possible.
So, do you find that all the success you've achieved has strengthened you in other areas of your life?
It has definitely strengthened me mentally and possibly emotionally, because I can definitely see myself a bit more confident, because if I can see myself doing this as academically, I can see myself doing anything like emotionally, mentally.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Oh, no problem at all.
Disability, my friends, truly is a universal phenomenon. But so, too, is the reaction to it in many ways. When you see people coming together to support an individual with a disability, regardless of where they came from or what they might believe, you still see love and support. Most cases, you see people coming together, recognizing more and more in a global sense, these people have value, not just as beggars or something to be pitied, but as people with something remarkable to say and to contribute. And I love hearing stories from across the world and different backgrounds of people with disabilities. For the fact is, what Sukaina described was a very accessible, very open format. And the truth is, that's how it has to be. It has to be something people can relate to, something they can get behind. Injecting a little humor is not just a blessing in disability life. Sometimes it's the thing. It gives you something to focus on. Sometimes it's a way of breaking down those myths and stereotypes that people with disabilities are too fragile to talk about who and what they are. It's never true. They want to share. They want to open eyes in the world. And I am grateful to everyone who's making efforts in that sense. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.